that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel
is
gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow,
welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. That old wheel has rolled around. It's rolled all the way through September. Here we are, September 28th. We are coming to you live from the... it was a rainy night last night here at the Radio Ranch, thankfully. First rain we've had in weeks. But we welcome you this morning, and we've got a full crew. And we'll start with our guest. Good morning, Brother Paul.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
We'll save the boss for last. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And again, we say good morning to you, the remnant. We thank you for joining us, for getting up. If you're on the West Coast, it's a little early, and it just kind of rolls to that 9 a.m. hour on the East Coast. But we do thank you for joining us, and hopefully you have your Bibles and your coffee, and we'll have the phone lines open this morning if you have a comment, if you'd like to call in. But we're going to start out with a word of prayer, and John, we're going to look to you for that to get us going this morning.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time that you saw fit for our pastor to set aside for your people to come together and to encourage one another to love and good deeds. And Lord, we ask that you would guide and direct our thoughts, give us wisdom, understanding, and discernment what it is that's important for your people, the remnant, to understand and show us how it ties into biblical prophecy and scripture and to the things that you told us would take place, Father, especially in the last days when knowledge would increase and the things that were hidden would be revealed according to your word. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that you've allowed us to be part of a remnant, Lord, a remnant that understands truth, truth that is more valuable than any of man's commodities. Father, we thank you for the pastor that you gave us, for 30-plus years, and the man that he was, the sacrifices that he made to share the truth. And Lord, we pray that we would just be a fraction of what he was in this battle. Father, that you would use us in a mighty way. So today, we just pray for wisdom, understanding, and discernment. Lord, we thank you that you are a God that hears and answers our prayers, and there's much to pray for and much to pray against. Father, the enemy knows that they're defeated. Demon rats know that there's no way that they can win the election, so they're doing everything they can to overturn what you allowed to take place in 2016. Lord, we know that there's no way that Donald J. Trump got to his position without your intervention, Father, that your people who were called by your name as they humbled themselves and prayed and, Father, repented, turned from their wicked ways and turned back to you, Lord, that your word is clear that you would hear from heaven, forgive our sin and heal our land. But we know that it's only a window of opportunity, Lord, that there's still much to be done. There's many that we must try to reach, Lord, that have been deceived, that have believed a lie. And Father, we pray that you would send your ministering angels ahead of time, just as your word says, and prepare their hearts and minds and souls to receive the truth. And Father, help the Holy Spirit to speak through us. Give us the opportunities to share the truth when we have that chance. Father, send your guardian angels to protect those that are yours, and your warring angels to battle Leviathan, as they know that their time is limited. And Father, they've stepped up their efforts to defeat good. Lord, we know that it's a battle of good and evil, just as your word says, and we can see that there's wars and rumors of wars taking place almost on a daily basis these days. And Lord, we just ask that you would help us to hear you, the Lord, and to be obedient when we do. Just pray that you remember grace and mercy in your wrath, and that you would find your people worthy to escape the things that are coming. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Well, again, Remnant, good morning. We do have the phone lines open today, 307-745-5913. And every day it is a new... It's like the demon rats are fishing. Every day it seems like they throw out a new bait to see what will catch a fish, what will get the people excited, what will get the people going. And if you're not familiar with the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, that is when the exiles returned, and through Ezra they rebuilt the temple, and throughout Nehemiah they rebuilt the wall. And so many of us are familiar with those stories out there. I encourage you, Remnant, to go back and read Ezra and Nehemiah and see how, even in the beginning of the very beginning of Ezra, Ezra 1, it says, "In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia." And so we are seeing that same thing happening today. And we are seeing the remnant return. No, not building a temple, but returning and realizing that their bodies are the temple of God and returning to Him. We see it in pieces. But I want you to, if you read through Ezra and Nehemiah, you can't help but see, I think, the parallels with today, with it's the Lord that has stirred up the king. It's not that there arose a king, because our people were in exile. It's not that there rose up a Christian king that was doing everything according to the will of the Lord. No, but the Lord stirred the king's heart to allow his people, not to just bless them and pour out blessings and let them be in retirement. No, but he gave them opportunities through the king to rebuild the temple, to rebuild the wall, to to reestablish their relationship with Him according to His way, according to God's Word, and to His desires. And that's what you see through Ezra and Nehemiah. And that was the beginning. And then, once they started, then other things fell in place. The Passover was reinstituted. The usury was abolished among the remnant, among the people there. They found the law, and they, in Nehemiah 9, they stood in their place. They read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a fourth of the day. And for another fourth, they confessed and worshiped. And so I hope you see the parallels. Because we've had, John, you've mentioned it several times, we've had the reprieve. We've had the Lord working in the hearts of the people, but also in our leaders, to have a change. And that's not the saving grace for this country. That's a reprieve. It's an opportunity for His people to learn from His Word, to return to Him, to return to God's ways, and to repent. I can't help but see it when we read through these Old Testament stories, especially Ezra and Nehemiah.
Yeah, Paul's got a really good understanding, one of the best that I know of anyone, regarding the Battle of Gog and Magog, and maybe Paul can elaborate on that a little bit. I'm sure, you can see with the things that are going on in the world right now, that it would appear that the stage is being set for that battle.
Well, that book, America and the Bible, that man in 1859, I believe, preached two sermons on that, Gog and Magog, back then, and he understood it completely. And I've been expecting it for a long time, and it looks to me like it's building up to it, because, well, this thing is deteriorating. I've seen the thing that Greenspan said this summer. He was the head of the Federal Reserve, used to be,
right. But
he's an old man, but he said, we're in trouble. He said, the American people have no faith in their government no more. They still trust the military, but they don't trust their government at all. But see, this is going on all over the world. The Federal Bank has the grip of everything, and everybody's mad at everybody else. And I think they're going to take it out on us. But that's their demise, because Gog and Magog, that's a very exciting story when you read it through, because the one verse in there that really gets my attention, they said, then my people will know I am who I am once and for all. The people on the streets have no idea what's going on right in front of their eyes. Everybody's just trying to survive. 99% of the people talk about, having enough to retire on and stuff like that. They don't talk about eternity, anything like that. They're just trying to survive in this Babylonian system, and it's deteriorating right before their eyes. And Gog and Magog, and as far as I understand, there's Russia and China. But in that man, that sermon, he said, all the countries of the world will join in on that when they come after us. And when they do, they're dead. He's going to get our attention, and I don't know how this is going to come down, because government's still turning the screws on us as far as making us submit to this rascal. It ain't over. And I really think, I bet you I told Pastor Peter just about every week, curse the man that trusteth in man. Now, this Donald Trump thing could be a total deception. The American people always want a leader. They want a king. God never wants us to have a king. He wants to be individually responsible. And Samuel, it was disgusting that we had a king. And George Washington was asked to be the king, and he says, no, we have a King Jesus, but I'll preside till he returns. Now, those people that fought and won that revolution knew who they were. Our people today have no idea who they are. They just have no idea. And I don't know any way to get them to listen except the Spirit of God moves. And it's moving, don't you? Don't underestimate. Donald Trump was put in there for a reason. God is doing this whole thing. He's orchestrating it, what's coming down. And this is what we have to have today. We need to know what we believe. And part of believing is not knowing what's going on. Hey, God's hand is moving, and that's faith. And that's what we need is faith, because we can't see it. But don't be taken in by anybody, really. We're a remnant. You know, somebody's going to have to tell this story, and it is going to happen. I'm more convinced by the day, and it's getting closer.
Yeah, you know, Revelation talks about how Babylon falls in a day, and there's some things going on behind the scenes that most people don't understand, and what you just presented is a good prelude to what I was going to talk about that I don't think most people have seen, but it's called the repo operation that's been going on, and I think it's gone on for like the eighth day, but how the central banks work is they take bad debt and they put it out on a market and they sell it to different banks at a reduction of 2 to 2.5% is typically where they like to be. But one of the key signs of economic collapse is the fact that the Fed has had to purchase, they started with $50 billion the first night. So what they do is they won't allow it to get to 10% discount or something like that. It's even gone as high as 20%, I think, in China, in the China markets one time when almost everything collapsed overnight. But it's called the repo bid. Jason might understand more about it too. But anyways, for 8 days, they've been pumping more and more money, and every night it's more and more. So it was started at $50 billion, and then the next night it was pumped up to $70 billion, and now I believe it was somewhere in the $110 billion. But the fact that this is 8 days in a row of the Fed having to pump money into this system to buy the bad debt to keep the rate below whatever they're, you know, I don't know how they play their games, but they're admitting, just like you said, like Greenspan, they're admitting that they're running out of tricks. They don't know what to do anymore, and all they're doing is printing money. I mean, this QE 2 or 3, whatever it is, where they dump $40 billion a month into the markets, or now they're talking about $70 billion, but it's all Babylon, you know, and when you talk to people that kind of understand that, they're like, well, you know, it's not a good sign. And I said, well, the Bible's clear that Babylon falls in the day. So these are significant things, and our people need to be prepared as much as we can for that, because it literally, I mean, as far as I can tell, the writing's on the wall that it could fall in a day, just like the Bible said it would, obviously.
Well, it's falling before our very eyes, you know, and God is a merciful God. This ain't going down totally fast, but in the light of God, it's going down real fast, you know, because time don't mean nothing to him, but to people, they have a small vision on things. Yeah, this thing is going down before our very eyes, and you can't fix it without... See, this is why that the land Sabbaths and the years of release is the only way economy can function. If you got to get rid of that debt, it builds up for 7 years, you can undo it, and then start over. And that God had a perfect right. design for that.
Yep. Absolutely. But man thought they knew better, as usual.
Well, he won't be mocked. I mean, he's a pretty patient God, and there's, I can tell.
Yeah, absolutely. Or we've been wiped out a long time ago.
Very patient.
Well, I think Hoskins said one time, you know, his war cycles, peace cycles, man, way back in Wisconsin, he said this thing should have collapsed 15 years ago, and they've been putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. So I remember him saying that.
Yep. But even they run out of, you know, tricks after a while, and I think they're starting to admit that. I know that what I've been reading, at least, that they're kind of befuddled that the things that used to work in the past aren't working anymore. And it's happening all, you know, through everything. It's happening in politics. It's happening in the financial system. It's happening in all of the Babylonian false systems.
Well, people have believed...
What do you think, Jason?
People have believed in their government. The first depression in 1929, there was no government programs to cover this up, and they've gave them people money they can live without working and stuff like that, and they put this thing off and off. And but it will end. I mean, and I think it's happening now because, I mean, these guys watch and see what we do. They know us better than we do. and how stupid we are. But see, there is a day when you wake up and say, hey, this is enough, you know, and it's just like sin. You keep covering it up, and eventually it's going to come out.
Yep.
So, it's pretty exciting times, really.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely interesting times, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Remnant, we do have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913, if you'd like to give a call in. And again, coming to you live this September 28th, Saturday morning. And so if you'd like to give us a call, you can sure do that. Yeah, I don't think the downfall...
Yeah, some of the stuff, I mean, you can see that, you know, handwriting's on the wall and things are changing. One of the things that was sent to me this week was an article that said that students forced to apologize for being white and Christian. And this happened in North Carolina. They had a school board meeting, and it was part of their equality training for government school teachers. And the teachers were forced to... forced to make the Christian students stand up in class and apologize for their privilege. And there was, the sad thing is you'd think that, you know, I mean, you're talking, it started off in a small town in North Carolina, but you get one or two parents that get upset about it. And, you know, the sad thing is every one of them should have been upset about it. But it got some heat. They sure tried to cover it up an awful lot. But that's things that are going out in these, you know, small town public schools. And it sounds like they got it stopped and got it shut down. But it was basically started with one parent, you know, finding out about it and getting upset. And sometimes, you know, it's like you got to stop and think. It just takes so little to get to stop movements or to put a halt to something too. And it's there's just a lot of fight that's been taken out of people. They just don't want to fight anymore. They don't want to fight about things. They don't want to take a stand on anything.
Yeah, become passive.
Yeah, and a lot of people have become passive in a lot of ways, but, you know, I mean, they've done that to us through diet, through the foods and what they put into the foods and stuff like that, and then, you know, the spellcasting ability of the television and the internet and following the blue light, it's part of the agenda to take that fight out of people.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I'm noticing is it seems like, at least from my perspective, that higher ed has stepped up their agenda as far as pushing liberalism and things like that. You know, it seems like we've won some battles in government regarding the things that the Obamanation administration had put in place, but I think a lot of people don't see what's going on behind the scenes regarding the higher education, and that hasn't slowed down at all. In fact, it's gained momentum, in my opinion. And but one of the things that was interesting this week, I learned that higher ed is starting to get worried that in the next 5 years, their number of students would significantly decrease, and mainly that's because of population decrease, especially within obviously the white, Caucasian, German, Scandinavian, kindred, and Celtic people. And I just thought that was interesting, the fact that now they're starting to plan for a reduction in students. There was a big 600-bed new dorm being planned, and they cut that in half all of a sudden. And it just came down from the Board of Governors, you know, the top of the administration. And it's interesting what's going on. And when you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you know, we always pastor always taught us to be aware of what's going on around you all the time, and most people can't see these kind of things, but we've been trained to be able to to see and anticipate what's going on in the world.
Amen. The generation that's in school today, from kindergarten to 21-year-olds, is the majority are the minority. The majority are not white. The generation that is in school today in the United States, and that is the first time that full school age generation has that the majority, 51%, have not been white. And so, John, you seeing those reports and seeing, what higher ed is doing in response to that. See, they know those things as well, and they know that as the whites decrease, fewer overall of the people will go to college, will seek, further degrees and further learning. Picture that's this generation. What do you think the next one's going to be? And how long is it going to be before it is just a, it literally is just a mix no particular majority of any race. And that's been the goal of the enemy, just to meld everybody else into that brown man. I remember Pastor talking about that brown man outside the UN office, and that's their goal. And we are getting real close there. We've known Europe has not been having enough white children to replace their white people that are dying. They haven't for over 20 years they haven't had enough. And look what happens when you don't be fruitful and multiply. Look what happens to the land. God brings another people into it to take it. And we're seeing that in Europe, and it sure seems like we're seeing it here, because that is the same thing that has happened. I think it's been the last 2 years that the numbers have been out that the same thing with the Caucasian in America. They are not having enough children to maintain their numbers. But the Muslims coming in, they're reproducing like rabbits. And the Hispanics and the blacks and the other races, they don't have that problem. They don't have that problem. And that's I think, one of the reasons that we get this big push on race, you have to apologize for being white, but every other race is noble and better, and you can't even talk about race when it comes to the other races. And it's our numbers are going down, and his are going up and up. Ezekiel 36:37 says, "This also I will let the house of Israel ask me," and that's God speaking, "to do for them. I will increase their men like a flock." So you get to ask God to increase men. Why? Why would we have to ask God to bring more men? Well, that's because the numbers ain't there. They're just not there anymore. And it was these numbers of white Christian men and white Christian families that formed this nation, that maintained this nation. And we're seeing both of those on the decline, massively.
But God don't like big numbers anyway. 3% of the American people fought and won this war against all kinds of odds. They had people that were taking care of the enemy, and they had other people that were indifferent, but it was 3% that fought and won this war. And the hand of God is in it, and then Gideon too, he had it down to 300 men. He don't need a lot of men. He needs good men. See what they're doing to you? They're rubbing your face in the dirt. You're going to wake up, white man, or aren't you?
Yes.
Because I always think of that poem by, what's it called? When the Saxon begins to hate.
Yes.
When the Saxon begins to hate, you're in deep doo-doo. Because he can take on numbers that you ain't got no clue, because the hand of God is with those people. So, we don't need to worry about numbers. I thought, man, if we get all these people together, you ain't getting these people together. You're alone. Pastor Peter, I've learned to live alone. I don't need people. I like people. I like a few friends, but I got to call them because they ain't too close.
Yes. And it is. It's a poem by Kipling. The day the Anglo-Saxon began to hate.
And when we begin to hate and fight back, I mean, it's out there. They just see, and this is another thing. The law has been taken away from us because he who draws on the law cannot be moved. I was talking to a guy the other day, but I don't remember what we were talking about, but it was, you know, he was a typical old Baptist, you know. Well, yeah, we got to get along. I said, you've been educated beyond your intelligence, you know. And he laughed and stuff like that, but that's true, you know. But after talking to him for the year, he used to harass me all the time. Now he says good morning to me. You know, he highly respects me, but he's stupid as a rock. But every time now I get him a little education on him. But anyway, I'll tell you what, Trump has given people on the street the spine to start talking. He's definitely a man. You know, he's given people spine to come out and say things that they would have never said before. So, we're out there.
Things that we want to say.
We're out there. I mean, you know, we don't know who's who. We're not the only ones, but... But they do need a leader. See, and that goes back to old Samuel. God don't want us to have a leader. He wants us to be individually responsible. That's what it, you know, every one of us has got, you know... No king but Jesus. And those 300% of American people knew that, and that's why they were fighting.
Yeah,
we have a lot to be ashamed for letting this country go the way it is. You know, I've tried for years, and I feel helpless sometimes, but I got to get rid of that.
Yeah, the people fell asleep as the watchmen over the house of Israel. But, you know, you see what's going on with these red flag bills, specifically here in Colorado. Apparently the Democrats here that are running our state, unfortunately, are admitting that these red flag bills are not to disarm the gang members, which 80% of the homicides in the United States take place. All you got to do is go to Chicago and you can see that. But you know, they're pretty much admitting that what they're trying to do is disarm the rural America. It's funny that they're not hiding these things anymore, you know, just like the parable of the wheat and the tares in the last days, you know, that the tares would become so bold and brazen. And first we saw it, I think, with the homosexual issue, you know, the gay marriage and all that, but it's like all the stops are being pulled out that... They're so bold and brazen right now that they just think that they can't be defeated, which is what God said would happen. You know, they make their plans and he sits in the heavens and he laughs and he scoffs at them. But they're just not hiding the fact that they're communists, socialists, antichrist, hate the people that hate God and hate God's people.
Well, you know, in that Ezekiel sermon there, Gog and Magog, they have a hook in their jaw. They have to come. They can't not come. God, there, you know, I was reading the other night where Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, he was a servant of God. God used,
yes.
You know, and then I'm looking for it, but I can't find it. But see, I think of the Patriot movement, you know, we're going against the government, and he said, and some prophet coming in will go against Nebuchadnezzar because he was the king of Babylon. But anyway, that prophet was killed because he did. See, we have to go along with Babylon because we're in captivity. It's in 2 Kings that I'm trying to find, but anyway, the Patriot Movement wanted to get rid of the monster government without serving God. And that was the fallacy of that whole system. But yes, when we are in Babylon, and just like Pastor Peter Pryor kept me from going to prison, don't think you're getting out of a system that God put you in except God's way. So, and that's my life.
And that says a whole lot right there. I mean, you talk about being enslaved and in the system. It's, you know, like New York City. City bans calling someone an illegal alien out of hate, with violations up to $250,000 per occurrence. And it says that it's now against the law in New York City to threaten someone with a call to immigration authorities or refer to them as an illegal alien when motivated by hate. And then we're going right back to the fact of the matter is you know, it when motivated by hate. Well, how do they know if it's motivated by hate? Basically, the hate is a thought, and we're getting right back to where Dad said we would be. It's there's going to be hate crimes, thought crimes, and hate crime police and thought crime police. The restrictions, violations of which are punishable by fines of up to $250,000 per offense, are outlined in a 29-page directive released by City's Hall Commission on Human Rights. Alien, used in many laws to refer to a non-citizen person, is a term that may carry negative connotations and dehumanizing immigrants, marking them as other, reads one passage of the memo. The use of certain language, including illegal alien and illegals, with the intent to demean, humiliate, or offend a person or persons, constitutes discrimination and can and will be fined $250,000 per offense.
Well, it's coming to the point of the social justice thing now. I mean, essentially what happened with President Trump this week was the fact that they don't have anything, but yet they make the accusations. And then I don't even know if you heard it, but that Adam Schiff, piece of garbage that he is, but basically he directed a narrative of how he sees what the situation took place. But the crazy thing is I think they're out of tricks in a lot of ways, but what they're doing is they see that in reality we lost the House because for 2 years, almost three, they perpetrated the lie of the Russia collusion with Trump, that he tried, won the election by interference from Russia. But the stupid American people, what we need to understand is that, part of the protocols was they take over the media, and they have. And if you constantly bombard people with lies, sadly, the people of today will believe it. And I think that's their last-ditch effort, is to just bombard the people with so many lies about President Trump and what he's doing that eventually they'll believe it. I think that's what their end game is, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, and it's interesting because there's a lot of people out there that you see where this hatred and stuff's coming in on the news broadcasts and stuff like that. There's a lot of people, but I tell you what, I've run into more people and more people, and I think I run into more people all the time that are really happy and excited the way things are going, as far as people standing up for what is right.
Yeah, I see that too.
Yeah, it's like like you said. I mean, but they're trying to create the illusion and the deception through the smoke and mirrors, in the media and things like that, is what I think. Even though that we see what's going on, and I believe there's a greater awakening than in past years. Their goal is to try to create the illusion of them winning and perpetrating lies, 24/7.
Oh, I guess you can't blame them for trying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, they are their father, the devil, right?
Yeah, a liar from the beginning.
Yep.
A liar and a murderer, and it's what they do. It is exciting, I think, when you see prayers coming true, when you see prayers coming to pass, the prayers that have been prayed, that the things that were done in dark would come to light, and the filth of abortion how Planned Parenthood has, you know, how they would keep babies alive so they could harvest more organs, and just the utter horror that has come out of that is coming out and being made known. You know, Roe versus Wade, again, not trusting in man, but in this man's Babylon, Roe versus Wade is up for, you know, it may be overthrown, and we're seeing that the filth of these sex pedophile rings, you know, that is surrounding all this Epstein mess, is coming to light, and I think that's the other reason why you're seeing this, you know, this last ditch effort. The enemy, like you said, John, they who was it, Greenspan or whoever, or Bloomberg, they don't know what to do. They don't, because everything that they've done in the, they've done these things in the past and it's worked. They've gotten away with this, you know, with their Molech worship. They've gotten away with their pedophilia. They've gotten away with their stealing, killing, and destroying. And now it's changing. It hasn't changed overnight, but it's changing. And the things that they've done are being made known. And, you know, even the Clintons killing off as many people as they can that come against them is not ebbing the tide, so to speak, of these things being brought to light. And it is nothing else but answered prayer. Because he says, when my people cry out, he will hear. When you ask, you'll be given the answer. When you seek, you will find. And Christians have done that. They've asked for these things that have been done in the dark, these lies, this filth that's been going on. You know, we've prayed, we've cried out to God for it to end, for these things that have happened, that have been done, to be made known. And praise God, He answers the prayers of His faithful. He always has, and He always will. And it's exciting to see these things, like you mentioned earlier, to have, you know, what a blessing, but also what an obligation to have these eyes to see and to see these things that are going on. I think of it as being part of that that oil in the lamps that the Christians had, the virgins had. And half of them, you know, they had some that oil of understanding. They had bought it. They had paid the price to do that, and had been attentive and had the oil of understanding in their lamps, and they were ready and they understood what was going on. And the others missed out. The others missed out.
Yeah, I think that prayer has evolved into praying for God's justice now, too. I mean, when you see this Epstein thing, and you know, the sad thing is it used to be at least a matter of weeks or months before people would forget the things that were going on in the world, but now it's just a matter of days, and it's almost becoming hours. You know, all of a sudden Epstein's taken out in prison, and now we don't hear anything about it. So I think we just need to continue to pray, just like we said, that things were done in the dark, brought to the light, shouted from the rooftops, send confusion into the camp of the enemy, that they would turn upon one another, destroy one another, devour one another is a better word. And but also for God's justice in all of this, not man's justice, but God's justice, and that we start seeing some of these people who perpetrated these heinous, wicked, vile acts held accountable with regards to God's justice, not man's justice. That the fear of God would be put back into man is what needs to happen. I mean, if you think about it, you could sum it up as that man doesn't fear God anymore. It's why these things are taking place.
Well, that's their God. Babylon's falling apart. Failing them.
Yeah.
Well, Jason, we had talked a little bit before the program. Just, you know, it seems like the hemp production is increasing. Saw an article that even Kansas State University, their Olathe campus, is They have set up, they put new programs in. They're, I don't know if I can say this word, but they're, their post-harvest physiology lab. There we go. And they have put things in where people can send in their, you know, top, I think, what is it, the top 20 centimeters of their hemp plants. And KSU will test it, give them results and that type of thing. And that's something new that's come out in the agricultural field just in, just recently. And it seems like we're seeing that kind of in different parts of the country to get this hemp production up and going. It can be used to create, of course, fabric and paper and biofuel and plastics and health foods and cosmetics, building materials, all types of stuff. Jason, do you see that happening down here, down in Colorado or in other parts of the country? Or
that's happening all over the place. I mean, it's they've opened up a paper mill here in the state of Colorado that's then they're starting to produce paper. At this point in time, it's expensive, but it's, one acre of hemp that they can grow in 1 year is equivalent to 5 acres of trees that they can grow in 20 years for the paper mills. So, it's getting back into getting to where they can actually process and use a lot of this stuff. There's a lot of people that are using it in the health field for the CBD aspect of things. But it's just all around us, all across the state of Colorado. Colorado is one of the few states right now that's actually legalized the growing of production of commercial hemp. It's legal in other states, and basically since the Farm Bill that Donald Trump signed when was that? That was probably 18, it was last year sometime. That put it basically opened up for every state to regulate the production of commercial hemp, and they basically made it took it off of the USDA's illegal list and made it legal to grow commercial hemp. And they're still figuring out all the aspects and all the benefits and how to use it. It's going to change things quite a bit here in the United States. So far basically the states from state to state, they got the chance to put into their regulations how they wanted to regulate it and what they were going to do for testing and licensing and stuff of that sort. Most states did not get their paperwork put in and get it filed, so therefore it's still, without a permit, it's illegal to grow it. Colorado, is one that it is legal. There's Washington State, Michigan. There's a handful of other ones, but it's very few. Next year it's going to be pretty much United States legal. The only state that did come in and combat it and say that no, that they weren't going to have anything to do with it was the state of Idaho. They basically said, no, we're not going to have any commercial hemp growing in the state of Idaho. They did some weird stuff. They basically banned the interstate commerce on it, and then they came out with a permit that you can purchase if you're traveling across the interstate with it. But other than that, it'll be 50 state legal.
Wow. Well, guys, the phone lines are ringing. Let's pause here and take a caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, brothers. A story that hasn't been covered this week is supposedly there was animal sacrifice on the Mount of Olives, and I think it took place yesterday. A brother on YouTube, Richie from Boston, brought it forward, and it looks like it took place, so that was big. But the issue that we're talking about is standing jurisdiction, and I suggest that the brethren take a look at Trump's inauguration speech. Now, we have to remember he was plus 70 years old when he became president. So in my mind, he had standing as, in my mind, again, CEO of the corporation that has us in this Babylonian corporation. So I suggest the brethren take a look at that inauguration speech and count how many times he set the captives free, the we the people jurisdiction. So that's very important. Now, all this is run, like John has been saying, you know, in his own way, out of the Vatican, because, you know, they published the law that captured us, the Code of Canon Law from 1970 version, 1983 version, which was published in Washington, D.C., and Trump specifically says, releasing you from that captivity, and says Washington, D.C. So this is a legal construct. Very few people have standing yet. Obadiah tells us that there are those that have standing. Now, so if you want to look up the motu proprio that the Pope was forced to publish, it was took effect September 1st, 2013, which in my mind, and I'm not real sure of this, but this is what I think took place, the corporate state was nullified, and those that have this de facto office became no longer were immune for those that had standing. So look that up, September 1st, 2013. Now, it wasn't a coincidence that that jurisdiction shut down. Remember, the government shut down from October 1st of that year, 2013, till the 17th. So they knew if they stayed in that, you know, de facto capacity in their, they were actually going to be in their private capacity. So they were all scared. So they shut that jurisdiction down, but therefore recapturing everyone that, that didn't actually repent. That was, that's what repentance is to seek ye first the kingdom, Revelation 11, 15 jurisdiction. So they recaptured everyone on the 17th of 2000, October 17th. They...
Well, caller, we sure appreciate it. That's some awful deep stuff. You kind of hit all that with a scattergun, that's for sure. We sure appreciate it. We're running out of time. We've only got a few minutes to finish up the program, but sure appreciate the call and that that standing. That is some interesting an interesting concept there as well. We appreciate the call. I think that ties in with Paul. I think you mentioned it earlier that the majority of the people have no idea what's going on. We have generations that have been raised up without God. Again, I think it's like the times of Ezra and Nehemiah. That had been 70 years. They'd had a couple generations of just doing their whatever felt good, do it. But some of them came back, and when they heard the law, when they had the moving, I think, of the Holy Spirit upon them, then you know, they did repent. They did return. And that's our prayer of, for what happens now.
Yeah, every parasite will kill its home. That's how it works. Whether it's an insect or whether it's worms, they always. See, I was reading in Genesis the other day too. You know, where the Esau was cursed and lying, he cannot produce. He has to live off in our sin. That's how he makes a living.
Yes.
This is what's going on in this country. Yep. And, you know, once you worm yourself, get rid of the parasites, everything changes.
I like that term, worm yourself. You know, we do that with the cattle. You know, you do that with sheep. We do that with the horses. You give them a wormer to get rid of, to keep them healthy, to get rid of the parasites, to get rid of that. And I like your terminology with that, to worm ourselves. We have the ability. Don't we read, come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people. Well, guys, we are running out of time. I want to thank everybody for joining us. I want to thank you for the phone calls. And, guys, we have church tomorrow. And we invite you, we do our best to invite you every Saturday to come and join us for church. And, you know, you might not remember every meal you've ever had for lunch. But every time you eat lunch, or breakfast, or dinner, it sustains you. It benefits you. It keeps your body going. It gives you energy. It gives you the ability to continue on with what you're doing, with life. And really, church is the same way. Joining with like-minded Christians, even if it's on the internet, even if it's 600 or 1,200 miles away, but taking that time to step away from the world, to hear the Word of God spoken, preached, taught on, It is sustenance, is what it is, and for our daily walk, for our Christian walk. And you can look over a span of time. And it's not that just going to church does this for you, but taking time to step away from the world, taking time to hear the Word of God, taking time to think on the Word of God, and to pray and to apply that Word of God, that makes a difference. That makes a difference. And if you don't think it doesn't, just skip lunch for the next 6 months and see how that works out for you. Probably do you good for a little bit. But so we invite you to come to church with us. We'll be there starting at 8:30 Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. That's 6:30 for you California folks, West Coasters, at scripturesforamerica.org. So we encourage you to join us, and you will hear Bible reading. You will hear scriptures. You will get sound biblical teachings from yesterday and from today, which will actually be tomorrow. So we encourage you to do that, and you can do that. If you don't have internet, we do have the DVD church. We record the services, and we'd be glad to mail you a DVD church. We mail hundreds out on Mondays, and if you'd like that, you can contact us. Our address, Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Well, thanks for tuning in, and guys, we will see you at church tomorrow.
Hey, sinner, you're running out of time. How much longer do you think you have before you go completely blind? The choice is now before you. It's time to break sin spell and claim your destination. Is it heaven or is it hell? Hey sinner, salvation's calling you. That long black train is rolling, sweet chariots are coming too. You can ride that cloud to heaven or take that train to hell. But the chance for you has come today to break old Satan's spell. Hey sinner, God's chariot's swinging low. We take that ride on high or end up down below. Right now the time's before you to break old Satan's spell and give your heart to Jesus or send your soul to hell. Oh, hey sinner, you're running out of time. How much longer do you think you have before you go completely blind? The choice is now before you. It's time to break sin spell and claim your destination. Is it heaven or is it hell? The choice is now before you. It's time to break sin spell and claim your destination. Is it heaven or is it hell?
Move them out, head them off, take high.